Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
For those of you who want to know the scenarios, Washington and Washington State will play on Friday. If Washington State defeats Washington and Oregon State beats Oregon, Washington State would win the North Division and would go to the Pac-12 championship game in Las Vegas. If Oregon wins the game against Oregon State, the Ducks become the North Division champion. The scenario for Oregon State is a Washington win over Washington State on Friday and an Oregon State win over Oregon on Saturday. That scenario would send Oregon State to Las Vegas as the North Division champion. Joining us now here to talk about it, Jonathan Smith, Oregon State football coach. The big question of the week, coach, on your turkey, are you a white meat or dark meat person?
Yeah, dark meat for sure, man. More moist. I'll mix it a little white, but put some gravy on it.
My wife asked me that, and I said, well, I always eat white meat. But the problem was I grew up in a big family with a bunch of kids, and I didn't really have a choice because everybody else liked dark meat. I just ate white meat. I didn't realize now I never really had a choice. So I think I'm going to flip-flop and be a dark meat guy this year.
Yeah, change it up once in a while. It's good.
Got to do that. Will you do a normal Thursday Thanksgiving, or what are you having your players and your staff do?
Yeah, we're going to practice in the morning, kind of our normal Thursday practice. And then, you know, we go in the morning. So when that wraps up, we'll have a kind of a Thanksgiving meal as a team and, you know, celebrate a little bit and then let people kind of go their separate ways for the afternoon meals. We got some local players who will be able to get home and see some family. You got some guys that will go to coaches' houses, and yeah, everybody can do what they want to do on Thanksgiving afternoon.
You like some football? Will you watch some NFL, or will it be more like just some downtime? You got enough football going on in your life?
Yeah, I think we'll probably have it on in the background, but we'll be just kind of spending some time together. Don't got a huge group, got a little bit of family around, but it seems like what the Cowboys always play. Somebody else, Detroit, do they always play on Thanksgiving or something?
Yeah, it feels like they're always on. It used to be like the Vikings, Detroit on those games. When I was a kid, those were always on. Do you have a tradition? Like, did the Smith family do something that you carried forward now with your kids and your family on Thanksgiving?
Oh, I think before we kind of eat, we always kind of go around the table talking about what we're thankful for. I don't know of anything outside of that. We talk a little bit about Christmas decorations, getting ready for that, and you know, Christmas lights going up.
Yeah.
That's pretty consistent around that time.
You're a normal person. That's what you're saying. You do normal things. See, this
yeah.
is like, it's good for people to hear that, I think.
I try to be.
All right, so let's talk a little football. You played really well last week against Arizona State, and you guys, you know, you sometimes get criticized for going for it on fourth down. You had a big play with Jack Coletto on a fourth down. You end up with a touchdown. You look pretty smart.
Yeah, it kind of changed the game too, man, because it turned into being a one-point or one-possession game at that point. And, you know, you get to midfield and you look at the yardage to gain and what we got to get done. And I was obviously happy at the way it worked out because creased it and then, you know, get it back to a two-score game and leaned on our defense the rest of the way.
Let's talk about the lean on the defense. There's something different here. We keep hearing it's energy. Is it just as simple as energy, or is Coach Bray and that defense doing something a little different?
Oh, I think that, you know, there's been some slight tweaks and trying to work to some players' strengths. I will say the opponent matters, right? Your game plan is different each week, and home crowd matters. I mean, our crowd's been awesome at home the last 2 weeks. When you're playing defense and the crowd's enthused and loud, that helps. And so credit to those guys. You know, Coach Bray, that staff, those players, they definitely have played better over the last couple weeks.
You're scouting Oregon now. You play Oregon on Saturday, big game, rivalry game. How do you approach a team that has had a lot of personnel change? They're different, you know, with different players in there because of injuries. They've also had some games like everybody else where they look really good. They've had some games where they have a quarter where they look good. How do you scout them?
Yeah, I think they're good on both sides of the ball. I think their scheme creates some problems. And I think every program would say the same. From week 1 to week 12, you're always evolving, and you're always, working toward your strengths and trying tweaks and complement what you've done before to have an answer. And no different for those guys. I mean, defensively, they've got a good scheme and a couple highlight players now. I mean, these guys jump off the tape and rush the passer. And then on the flip side, that quarterback's dangerous. You got to account for him all the time. They got a physical run game that sets up opportunities for plays in the pass game. And so each week's new, it seems like, but each week you always get some big-time threats.
You also have been better at home than on the road. How can you control that in a week like this where it's not a big trip for you guys? Will you stay in a hotel? Will you just make the trip over in the morning? Are you trying to make it feel like a home game? How do you approach that?
Yeah, we are making a little bit. It is so close, like a home game. We're going to stay at our home hotel that we stay at before home game, so that'll be something similar there. But you're right. We've gone on the road and haven't played as well as we wanted to play. This is another opportunity to do it. We're not changing our schedule drastically. And so you get into a routine and it comes down to preparing. And then obviously come Saturday, you want to execute.
You feel pretty good about the way you're playing right now, or has it been? Because the last time I asked you that, I think then came Cal and Colorado, and you guys didn't play that well. So I guess when do you know as a coach? Did you sense it in warmups against Arizona State? Did you get a feeling at Colorado or Cal that, hey, maybe we just don't have the energy? Or when do you know?
I know. It's probably not good to say as a supposed professional here. I don't totally know. I mean, you get there, you think you prepared right? I mean, you had a week of practice that you thought looked good. But then you get into these games, man, and, the guys are definitely excited to play. But, we beat Utah at home. That was a big-time win. And then, we didn't play well the next week. And credit to Cal. They got after us a little bit. So, but do I totally know each week? No. I wish I did.
Quarterback play. How's Chance Nolan playing in your mind?
Yeah, I think he's doing some solid things. I mean, taking care of the ball. We're running it, and he's a part of that, getting us in the right plays. And we've had some opportunities. Been fishing at times, throwing it. We haven't needed to throw it the last couple of weeks, which is a credit to that whole group. But I mean, if we can run it like we run it, and he takes care of the ball and makes a couple plays with his feet or converts a couple third downs, I think that can be effective for us.
Your games against Oregon State as a player, what do you remember from your time on the field?
Yeah, a bunch. So I started 4 games against the Ducks, 98 when we went to double overtime, and I remember, I think it was in regulation, I should have thrown a pick 6, the guy drops it, and that would ice the game. We come back and end up scoring late, tie it up, go to overtime, field gets rushed. 99 going down there. Actually had opportunities, but what was it? Ruben Drones. He must have rushed 400 yards or something. He went crazy. And then 2000 back here, Keith Jackson, 12:30. It was for all the marbles.
Mm-hmm.
First early throws, goes for touchdowns. And then again, same thing, lean on the defense. They took care of things throughout. And then 01 back down there is a monsoon, a rain going sideways. Yeah, and that's my final game as a player because we didn't go to a bowl game that year, and I think I threw a pick at the end that kind of iced the game.
You a little bit of up and down, kind of all over the place. Weather-wise, you don't have control over that, but as a quarterback, I got to think you like a game where you can throw the ball a little bit.
Yeah, I do. I prefer it, and I think what affects the passing game as much as anything is wind. If it's a heavy rain, that can make it hard. But, I like it a little bit cool, crisp, light wind. And if there's a little mist in the air, that's fine. But drier, the better.
I think it was a testament to your coaching last week. And, when you call upon Jack Coletto in that situation and he rips off that 45-yard touchdown run, it pretty much ices the game. And the stadium goes nuts. I was thinking a little bit about coaching and how it just feels like you guys are getting everything you can get out of some guys. And Nkleto's a great example. He's catching the interception at the game at USC to seal the game at the end. He's scoring the touchdown against Arizona State. Can you maybe speak a little bit to that about when you're evaluating players or you're seeing a player like Nkleto who's got some versatility and there's other guys in your roster you've done this with, like, you're not afraid to put them in situations that aren't traditional?
Yeah, you know, I think it kind of starts with your evaluation and what you think they can do and bring to the program that fit in what you're trying to do. But then you get them on campus and, you know, find out their skill sets and what they can do well or how they can contribute, and then having a scheme, offense, defense, special teams, that you can work to people's skill set. Because even Nkleto, like, his long touchdown run, my favorite plays maybe those games are when he's playing fullback. You should have seen this guy. We're running weak side lead, and he's leading up on a good linebacker, and he's getting the job done in a great way. I mean, so we're using all of his skill set, and I love the fact, too, that he's all in on doing that. It's not just about his touches and how many carries he gets. He's finding ways to contribute special teams, defense, and offense.
I was trying to think about who your MVP is, and I think you could make a case for a bunch of guys, couldn't you?
Yeah, and Nkleto being one of them, on his buy-in and his work and what he's contributed, obviously, on what we're getting out of the backfield, and B.J. Baylor. And we've got a lot of guys, you know, and which is nice. I don't think we got one superstar. We've got a group of guys that know we need each other to get things done.
You guys like the ball in the second half. Oregon likes the ball in the second half. I'll be curious about the coin toss. Are you a heads or tails person?
You know, I let those guys to do that. You know, Andre and Jaden and Captain go out. They can figure that out. We're going to defer, and they make that choice.
You're not a tails never fails kind of person.
No. I'm too much into the analytics, man. It's just 50-50.
I know.
Yeah,
let it happen. So be it. Look, it's been a great season. You guys are more than bowl eligible. There's still a lot to play for. What would it mean for you to win this game Saturday and end up in a scenario, if Washington beats Washington State, where you end up in Vegas with a rematch with Utah, playing for the conference championship? Think about when you were 2-10 to this moment now where you're playing in an important game.
Yeah, we've definitely come a long ways. And this was a goal of ours, to play some meaningful games in November. The scenario is this: to be able to play in the championship game, got to fall our ways. But ultimately, it comes down to us at 12:30. That's the biggest piece of this, is, you know, to find a way to win a game. And if we can do that, we tie for the co-champion of the league. We lose out on a tiebreaker if it doesn't fall our way scenario-wise. But any rivalry, you know, championship on the line, this is big-time stuff. And we're going to have to go earn it, because this is a tough place to play against a good team. But I know our guys will be excited about it.
Do you have additional Smith family in town? Is mom visiting? Do you have relatives, or do you keep it simple because it's still a game week?
No, we got a few. Mom's around. I got an aunt in town. But it's a little bit lighter than, I guess, previous years. I had my brother and his crew up.
Yeah.
They're not doing that this year.
Your brother, I got a chance to talk to your brother. You know, that's a good older brother. I think he made you better. He challenged you.
Yeah, he's good in a lot of ways. How about this? Today's his birthday, too.
Wow.
I haven't called him yet. I got to give him a call. But, family peace, growing up. And that's what I think. Like, you know, you have some achievement or success and get him great positions like we got going here. There's a lot of people that help you along the way to get that done.
Yeah, you've got a lot of guys in your coaching tree as well. All right, good luck to you. I will see you Saturday. I don't know if it means anything to you, but I'm picking you guys to win this 28-27. I think it's going to be a great game. I look forward to seeing it.
Well, hopefully we can do it for you. Thanks, man.
All right, thanks. Yeah, do it for yourself. Do it for your program. Jonathan Smith, Oregon State football coach, joining us. Jaden Grant, team captain, will be coming up at 1:30. We'll focus on the Ducks. But up next, I want to talk about what's wrong with Dana Altman and the Oregon Ducks men's basketball team. They are struggling. No bad losses, but it's a little alarming to see them playing so poorly this early in the year. What's missing? We'll talk about it. Leave it here. Pac-12 conference outside of Arizona not looking very good in college basketball. Houston in the second half right now, busy beating the Oregon Ducks 53-20. Right now, has not been a good start for Oregon. Dana Altman, we usually see him playing better at the end of the season versus the beginning, but there are some red flags going up. Some of the WCC teams, like St. Mary's, BYU, and some others, looking pretty good. Yesterday, St. Mary's beat Oregon 62-50. It was just a week ago, last Tuesday, BYU beat Oregon 81-49 in a game that was really alarming. Tony Stubblefield, Dana Albin's longtime assistant, has left the program to go to DePaul as the head coach. I wondered how that would affect Oregon men's basketball. But it feels like there's more going on here. And I had compared them to an AAU program. I think there are some comparisons. And what I mean by that is, you know, look, I've been around club teams. I've been around AAU teams. I've been around talented AAU teams, where there are conflicting motivations. Like, not everybody's there to try to win games. A lot of players are there to try get their shots and get, you know, basically establish their own brand. And if they win games, they're happy. But I kind of feel like this Oregon program has dealt with some of that over the years with Lewis King and Bol Bol and some other players that have come through the program. Maybe since Oregon had success in getting to a Final Four, and then it was kind of in the wake of that Final Four, I kind of wondered what would become of the program. Let's not forget, Oregon was very talented in getting a team to the Final Four. But if you look at the players who were at the core of that team that got to a Final Four, you know, it was a Jordan Bell. It was a Dylan Brooks. It was, you know, Tyler Dorsey. It were players that had spent several years inside the program and sort of just blossomed all together at the same time. Right now, what you see on the court from Oregon, I mean, they're down 55-26 to Houston right now. They got beat 81-49 by BYU. I don't expect them to win all the games, but it's the way that they're losing that I think is raising eyebrows. Like, it's, you know, you're building a resume to get to March, and right now what is going on at Oregon is a resume that is suggesting that this team should not be taken seriously. This conference outside of Arizona probably shouldn't be taken seriously right now. Even at Oregon State, Wayne Tinkle's struggling in the early part of the year. Charlie's in Vancouver, wants to talk about it. Charlie, go ahead.
Hey, John, you basically said what I was going to say, but I will add that I think the Gonzaga effect is really interesting. Since they've gone pretty much five-star material as far as recruiting, it seems like the St. Mary's and Santa Clara's and BYU's have made that conference a better basketball conference in the Pac-12, and I don't think it's temporary. I think it's going to continue that way. I think it's really interesting that Oregon State and Oregon are so similar basketball football-wise. Where what I mean is, I think I'd rather go to a practice at Oregon State, either basketball or football, because I think you'd find a bunch of guys who are slapping each other on the back that, like you said, really care about each other and the program and winning, as opposed to coming in as a five-star guy and what is next for me, how big of I don't know what kind of gift money they can get now as far as they're doing their little, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
I just think it's a totally different atmosphere, and it's really easy to root for the Beavers, in my opinion, because of that, and kind of harder to root for the Ducks.
I think the Pac-12's got a problem outside of Arizona right now. And
we interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.